Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the GWCC. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And this hour from Radio Row is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. We're fortunate enough to have Mr. Danny Ainge, the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And here we go. Mr. Ainge, hello.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We are soaking in the environment that is Radio Row here in Atlanta, Georgia.
How well, it's 7 degrees here, so it's got to be better there today.
There was a panic. They canceled schools here because a threat of rain and cold temperatures. So lucky kids got out of school when there was nothing really going on. But traffic hasn't been bad, so that's on the upside.
Nice. Well, I can't wait till the football game. I'm really excited about the Super Bowl. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah. So, Danny, has your phone been ringing lately?
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversations going on. Yeah, a lot of people digging for information that none of us really have.
Okay, so let's just kind of get to some generalities here first, because obviously it's been an interesting week in the NBA. We've talked to you about this before. And I just kind of want to see where your head is at. Just generally, would you be willing to trade for someone for a year that you believe could win you a championship, but also stated that they would not sign an extension?
So in these hypothetical situations, it's so much more complicated than that. So the answer would be yes, because there's been a time in my tenure where I was willing to do that in a particular situation with a particular player that, gave us a chance to sell him. In another situation, I was unwilling to do that because, you know, we had a good feeling that there was no chance. And so... it depends on the player, depends on the circumstances. That's just, it depends. I'm not sure of that.
How do you find out whether or not?
It depends on the package that you're, sacrificing.
Well, how do you find out whether or not you think this person could be convinced to stay?
With communication, doing research.
Okay, so you talk to agents. Do you talk specifically to the player beforehand? I don't think you can do that.
No, only if you were able to get permission.
Okay, so there's something that we've been talking about for a while that obviously seems kind of tricky that can prevent you from making any sort of trade that involves, I think, two rookie contract extension, the Rose Rule. And so any person who seems to be in that situation, because Kyrie Irving is still under contract on his rookie extension, you couldn't make that trade. Has anyone in the Celtics organization, have you done any kind of research recently or just due diligence to see if there's any kind of way around the Rose Rule?
There's no way around the Rose Rule. No.
Do you believe the Rose Rule is fair?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think. It's in the collective bargaining agreement, and it's enforced.
But if you could, like, if this came back up for a vote, Do you think that the Rose Rule is something that needs to exist?
I think it exists for parity, and that's what the board of directors of the NBA voted for. So that's what it is now, but it's not. I don't get a vote in it. I'm just a participant in it, and it is what it is. But who knows if they will still think that the Rose Rule will exist in the next collective bargaining agreement. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, so obviously you can't talk about players that aren't on the team, but Kyrie Irving is definitely someone that is signed. There have been reports this week that Kyrie might be having second thoughts about signing an extension with the Celtics at the end of the season. Have you spoken with him lately about any of this amidst the reports that have come out this week?
I talk to Kyrie all the time. My feelings have not changed. I feel like Kyrie likes it in Boston, but I certainly can't talk about Kyrie's impending free agency. That's taboo, and we won't know anything until July for certain. But I'm optimistic. I mean,
let's dance around it without getting into specifics. Let's test the waters a little bit.
I thought I just did.
No, let's dig deeper, baby. Let's see how far we can take this ride.
Danny. But real quick, with this, the one thing that I find interesting is that the story is coming out about him wanting to play with someone like with LeBron James. And what did you make of the video that LeBron made that where he was singing a song called Rewind? The lyrics were like, I wish it could be like the way it was. And it said dedicated to Kyrie Irving. What did you think of that video? It almost seemed like he was reaching out as if he wanted to play with him again.
So I don't know I didn't see the video. I have no idea what you're talking about. But I don't really care about that stuff. I mean, I just, like I said, I talk to Kyrie on a daily basis and see him all the time. And like none of that stuff that's out in the media this week that people have brought to my attention, like, really matters to me. I just, you know, we need to sell our team, our players. We need to sell free agents to be that are out there, potential free agents, our own players, that this is a place they want to be on a regular basis. And of course, we want to keep Kyrie, and time will tell.
All right, this is a totally non-specific question that doesn't have to do with any player whatsoever. When you see the assets that you have and the assets when it comes to making a trade in general, do you believe you're in a better position than most teams?
I believe we have a lot of very good assets with draft picks and young players, and I'm also like really excited about their futures and excited about the possibility of them staying in Boston for long term also.
So as the GM, when a story like what's happened this last week breaks, and constantly players who are on your team, names are being mentioned as far as being trade targets, do you talk to any of those players and either calm them down, or you talk to them and just say, hey, listen, I don't know anything, or you tell them what you do know? How often do you have to speak with guys who are constantly being mentioned as potentially being moved to a different team by the media?
So, yes, often players will come to me and ask if something is true, and I'll tell them the truth. And sometimes a player's name that is out there, I will reach out to them without them asking and to calm them down if I feel like it's affecting them or bothering them, and let them know where everything stands.
Have you and Jason Tatum talked? Because his name is the one that's being mentioned the most.
Jaylen Brown, too.
And
Jaylen Brown just asks him.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown just calls on TV and asks him.
But honestly, have you spoken to either of those guys? Because their name's being mentioned everywhere.
Yes, I have talked with them.
Okay. And were you the one that reached out, or was it them?
It was me. Reached out to them.
Was there any anger from either of those two guys? I mean, they're young kids, and this is the first time, really, that they've had to go through something like this.
No, I mean, I think they're very mature kids, and, you know, they listened to what I had to say, and I think they get it. They understand it. You know, part of it, I feel obligated to help educate these guys on the world that we live in basketball, the business side of basketball, the media side, and all the thing, and, you know, just all of the reports that come out, and try to prevent them from being distracted. And, I mean, there's just so many distractions. I mean, I feel like, you know, in the NBA, it seems like it's more about the drama off the court that is being talked about and discussed and people get excited about than, like, the play. And, you know, we're 11-4 and playing well in our last 15 games. And even with some injuries of some of our key guys and, you know, things are moving in the right direction, but and I understand it. I'm not like mad about it. It's just reality that, you know, it's more interesting to talk about all these Kardashian-like type episodes that are going on in the NBA.
Well, I guess along those lines, what's your opinions of star players announcing to the world that they are not going to sign extensions in the middle of the season with their current team?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
I bet. So what do you think the GM right now of the Pelicans is going through when you're sitting there and you've got a star player who...
The star player
who comes out. How do you deal with that as a GM?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a... I just, you know, I wish those things didn't happen. It's not what the league is about. It's not what I would do, and that's the same situation, but it is what some people do. So you just have to deal with whatever's in front of you.
I
think there's been a handful of GMs that have had to deal with that in the past, and you just have to deal with it. You can ignore it. You can try to talk through it. But, you know, ultimately you got to figure out what's best for your franchise.
So what you're saying is that what you would do is that you would sit and wait for the season to be over with, so you've got plenty of time to make sure that the best offer is put out there on the table, right? You wouldn't rush to any trades before the trade deadline.
If you maximize your trade possibilities.
You would be smart and wise, because there might happen to be a team that had a whole hell of a
hypothetically speaking,
that's what you would do, right? You would wait until the off season to make that important decision.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. Those are complicated issues.
When you played, and, you know, it wasn't possible really for players to, you know, dictate trades and say where they wanted to go, there was, like, the idea that, you know, how the Celtics, then it evolved into the Pistons, and it evolved into Chicago. It kind of aggravates me when a player with the skill of, like, Anthony Davis goes, well, I want to go somewhere where I can win. And, all right, you're a star player, like, win where you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's not specific to Anthony Davis, but it's like Jimmy Butler or some of these guys. Do you think if those opportunities afforded themselves the players of your generation, they would have done the same thing that the players are doing now?
Well, I mean, I think it's clear that they didn't. You know, they did try to, you know, maybe move cities, but I didn't think they tried to group together. But, I mean, listen, in summer of 2007, we had three star players in Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett that were all in the lottery. And, you know, we brought them together, and, like, they were the most excited. They were like kids in a candy store, and they were excited, and there was a lot of enthusiasm and energy for those guys to feel like they had hope and a chance. So just because you're a star player doesn't mean that you're surrounded by the right group of people that can put you in a position to win. So I understand where players are coming from. It's a short career, and oftentimes with 30 teams in the NBA nowadays, I think when I came into the league there was 23, and in, you know, back when the Celtics won lots of championships there were 8. It's a different world now, and so the stars is more spread out, and that's to create parity in the league and give every team, the small markets and the big markets, a chance. And so winning is not easy. And winning is getting more complex, more complicated. People are getting smarter. The rules are changing in new collective bargaining agreements all the time to make it more difficult. And so, like, everybody wants to win, all 30 teams. And it's a great competition. It's a fun competition, but it's challenging.
All right, Danny Ainge, you said that if the person was right and the scenario was right, you would be willing to sign or make a trade for somebody that said that they would not sign an extension if you had a belief that they would help you win a championship and hopefully convince them to stay. When you would try to convince them to stay, what would you do and tell them to make them believe that staying a Boston Celtic is the right idea?
Well, so just as an example, like when we made the trade for KG, like we would not make the trade. If you remember, KG did not want to come to Boston, and we had a deal done, and he had 1 year left on his contract, and he did not want to come to Boston. So, he would not commit to coming to Boston. We had permission to talk to him, and you know, no, I'm just not, you know, I'm not feeling like that's the place for me right now, and that's the place where I can win. We made the trade for Ray Allen, and then miraculously and very luckily, we were able to go back to Minnesota and put another package forth for KG. And at that time, now that we had Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, he was all on board, and he wanted to come to Boston. But we had a commitment from him, and you know, with an extension at that time. The rules have changed a little bit; it's different now. But I can't say who the player was. But there was a situation where I was looking for a player with 1 year left on his contract, and then there's times when I wouldn't do that. So it depends. But I can't talk to those players, and it's not about selling them before you make the trade. It's more about making them want to stay once you get them. And, you know, players want to be themselves. They want to be great. They want to be, and they want to win. And creating those environments for some players is not always as easy as it seems. But it is possible to create those environments for them. And putting together a group of players that can give them an opportunity to reach their goals. That's usually how you keep the players.
All right, Danny Ainge. On a completely different topic, Gordon Hayward, as of late, has been struggling a decent amount, and there was that anonymous quote that came out from a Warriors player that said that he's a liability on both ends of the court. When you watch Gordon Hayward play, what are you seeing right now?
Well, I've seen a couple of different Gordons this year, but I thought Gordon played fantastic last night. And looked like he was moving well, passing well, finishing. You know, I think that Gordon has had some moments of ups and downs. You know, Gordon is going through a lot of things, not just the health stuff, but I think a change in roles. He's making a sacrifice for our team coming off the bench. You know, his confidence has come and gone, like everybody's has this year in that role. You know, Jalen's had his ups and downs, and Terry's had his ups and downs coming off the bench as well. So I'm not worried about Gordon. I did read those comments, and, I didn't think Gordon had a particularly good game against Golden State, but he's had a lot of good games this year, and I'm very optimistic that he's moving in the right direction. And, nobody's rooting harder for Gordon than I. I just want to see him have fun and find joy in what he's doing. He's in the prime of his career, and I feel like he's making great strides.
All right, well, Danny Ainge, thanks so much for the time, and congratulations on the recent success. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have fun down in Atlanta.
Well, we don't get to stay for the game, so
no.
We're coming back Friday.
What?
Tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
You don't even get to stay for the game?
No. Well, I mean, I guess we could, but I don't want to get mobbed.
Yeah.
You know,
don't detract the attention from the game itself. Yeah. I don't want that to happen.
I mean, I don't want the, hey, look, hey, Fred Tucker's here. And then everyone gets all excited. I want it to be more about the play on the field.
All right. Well, it should be an exciting game.
All right.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you so much.
See you, Danny.
Okay, there you go.
So a lot of questions. Silence.
It wouldn't be an interview with him unless we had one of those.
But no. But he knew it. Like, I mean, yeah. he knew that coming on, there was going to be a zillion questions that had to be asked about that. And you know, and I thought Danny did as good of a job as he could do answering it. But the one thing that comes out of this is, as he told us before, and I believe it was Jimmy Butler that he was referencing, how he had a plan ready to go for a guy that had a year left.
That's right.
Because we asked him around then, and he at the time, once again, couldn't name the specific player, said, yes, I believe that there are certain players that are worth doing that. You trade a big package, you end up getting him for a year, you hopefully convince them to stay, and if you don't think Anthony Davis is worth that, then you're crazy. I mean, he'd be planning on doing that if he was available. They are effed by that Rose rule. And I know he can't comment on it. I mean, you know, he talked about the Perry thing.
New Orleans is not going to deal him before next week. It's not going to happen. I mean, right now they're not talking
They took him out of the, like, promo reel at the beginning
of the
game.
They're not trading him before next week. That doesn't mean they're going to deal him. That just means they don't want him to get hurt.
They might not play him.
They might not.
All right, I forgot to do this, so hopefully, Dan, this makes up for it. Troy Brown, while he was here, was brought to you by DN Van Lines. When moving your home or business, choose Felger's Mover. DN Van Lines, an approved mover for the Department of Defense and the top choice for Boston's pro athletes and celebrities, dnvanlines.com. I apologize for not getting that in quicker. We'll be right back.
Tutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row. Tutcher at the GWC, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. We're on Radio Row here at the Georgia World Congress Center. And we are brought to you by this hour by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Pats fans coming to Atlanta, join us Saturday afternoon. The Sports Hub Super Saturday parties at Hudson Grill in Midtown. That's 942 Peachtree Street. Hardy, Jim Murray. They'll be live from 2 to 6. Felger, Maz, Zoe, Beetle, Bob Sosi, and special guests will all be making appearances. They're getting you ready for the big game Saturday, 2 to 6, at Hudson Grill, Midtown Atlanta location, presented by Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Patriots, the Sports Hub Super Saturday Party.
Okay, real quick, Dan or Mike, could you find the Tatum clip of him speaking after the game? I want to play it for a second because Danny said something that made me think back to this. So Danny's always told us that whenever there's any kind of talk about a player that's mentioned in a trade rumor or something like that, that he'll always be open and honest with them, and even if it's not something that they want to hear. As a matter of fact, it's gotten him in trouble before, because remember the whole Ray Allen to Memphis situation?
Yep.
So, I mean, sometimes being honest, probably most of the time, people respect it, but it can also cause problems. And I think back to this clip that we played earlier in the show after last night's game when Jason Tatum was asked about the Anthony Davis rumors. And just know that Ainge just told us he's already talked to them about all this. He talked to the two he specifically named were named, and he said both of them he talked to was Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So they've had a conversation about what the realities were regarding a potential trade with Anthony Davis. Listen to this clip knowing that Danny Ainge has spoken to them and been what he says is 100% honest about what could possibly happen. Play the clip.
Jason. I mean, it's good to be wanted. I guess you can say that. But like I said, I'm not a free agent. I don't have any control. So, control what I can control. Go out there and play. Thank you, Jason.
That doesn't sound like somebody who was told you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, it's someone who's been told that we're going to make the deal for Davis and you're part of the package if we can get it done. That's what it sounds like. And by the way, does that surprise you at all?
No. I mean, he's the piece.
The fact that he knows and a deal is probably on the table, and Danny's like, look, if you can wait until the offseason, this is what we'll do. But it's not surprising. It shouldn't be shocking to him.
The Pelicans don't make a deal without Jason Tatum.
Of course not.
All the other pieces you move around, but unless you are the worst GM on the planet,
right,
he's the number one guy that is in the mix of all this. And that right there, after we talked to Danny, I just thought about it after the interview was done. I was like, man, that clip makes a little more sense how down he was throughout all of that.
Yep. All right, Steve Smith Sr.
Oh, yeah.
Is set to join the show. We will have it. Here are the headlines.
Tutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Tutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Steve Smith Sr. set to join us. He's around
at some point.
This is the silly time. This is when people are walking around with entourages behind them, and nobody has any idea who the person is. Like, half these people that are walking by, I'm like, what? And I guess, like, Evander Holyfield walked right by us. We didn't even see it.
I saw him.
I've
interviewed that guy 5,000 times.
So have I. But it's getting to the point, too, where there's this weird... It's almost like the ugly lights are turning on in the bar. There's this weird desperation, so people just want to take anybody. I'm thinking that afterwards... I might just walk around with John Wallach and tell people that I have Robert Carradine of Revenge of the Nerds fame. And it's the 35th anniversary of Revenge of the Nerds.
Sure. Oh, you have to do that.
And if you would like to speak to Robert Carradine, he can regale you in all the tales about how that movie could never be made today because it's wildly Me Too. I mean, like, there's one point where he just, like, dresses up as somebody and, like, hooks up with a girl.
And rapes a girl, basically.
Yeah, and he takes the mask off. He's like, oh, you're not my boyfriend, but you were great.
That's cool. You're good. Right. I expected you to be my handsome boyfriend.
Is there anybody else other than Robert Carradine that Wallach could double as?
Robert Carradine's the funniest.
Yeah, he would be the best from Revenge of the Nerds. And then you just got to talk to him about, like, what it's like, to how you researched being a nerd. And then you can just basically talk about your life.
You know, my real life, right. I play clarinet
right.
in the band.
I went and researched people who played clarinet.
Sure.
You know, and I even got this gap just to be more like...
It doesn't mean I don't have it anymore. That's the problem.
I know, it's going away.
Yeah.
Invisalign is working wonders.
We
have mine in right now, but I can talk with them in.
I can't.
I spit.
Oh, really? That's always good, yeah. Steve Smith's
going to
be on, by the way. We're going to tape him for tomorrow at 10:10.
Okay. So we are going to have Steve Smith
in
a little bit. Well, that's good. And I'm once again, it's just like a sea of people, and here's the stereotypical entourage. You've got the athlete or the star. Then you've got like an old dude with a clipboard, and then you have like a younger intern guy with a clipboard, and then there's like three women who
are
very attractive or usually with them. And then you've got two of the guy's friends.
But it's weird, though, because Tim Brown had one guy, the intern-like guy, the really young guy. You just saw Rob Ninkovich walk through. He didn't have anybody. Troy Brown walked through. He didn't have anybody. I mean, it varies. You know what I'm saying? It's almost as if people have this big armada of people to make sure you realize that they're important.
Sometimes, no. Sometimes it's because they're pushing a product. And you know how paranoid people get, so they have, like, three publicists to make sure that they hit everything. I don't think it's always vanity. I think it's a lot of times it's what they're pushing.
Oh, my God, I thought that was Ray Lewis for a second. My heart almost stopped. I'm not kidding
you.
Oh,
that did look like younger Ray Lewis.
Oh, my God, for a second, I'm like, if Ray Lewis is on Radio Row, I am not leaving this building until I talk to him. Like, I mean, my heart would have stopped.
Everyone knows each other. They're all slapping hands.
Do they really know each other? Or is it just kind of like,
just hey, like hello, hey, you're cool. I'm famous. You're famous. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, let's be famous together and high five each other.
Yeah.
I thought for Atlanta there'd be a lot more people here.
Are you kidding me? Yesterday there were like a ton of people. Like right now there's just a little bit of a lull. But I mean, dude, did you see there's a list of people who are coming today that is enormous. enormous.
What list of?
Yeah, I have not received.
I have not seen the list.
Oh well, that would be the Pro Football Talk list.
All the people that they were having on. Oh, all right.
Later on in the day,
so right behind us is what you're saying.
Well, which probably means that Zolak and Bertrand will get a lot of them.
Pick them off.
Yeah, I mean, because like Matt Ryan's going to be here today. I think Cam Newton's going to be here today.
Charlie Weiss wander in here at about 5:30 in the morning.
Well, he's got a show.
I cut off Charlie Weiss.
I know that was the.
I didn't even know it was security. Listen, in fairness, dude has lost some weight. He does not. I thought he would be a lot fatter.
Yeah, but those are the easy pounds to like when you're 400 pounds. Like, let's be honest.
The first 100 are easy.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you lose 400 pounds, it's like basically walk up the stairs and you burn.
Right.
You've taken off 10,000 calories.
And you've done it that way. Well, it is about to be where they let the public in, which is amazing. Mm. Like, that's amazing. I just want to hire, like, six people to walk around and just see if people ask for your autograph, John. Just you know, just behind me. Not even say who you are.
Oh, all right.
How would they ask for his autograph if they don't know who he is?
Well, because he'll have a huge entourage with him, and everybody will be asking him questions. And I wonder if they'll just stop and say, please sign my autograph.
I don't think
that's
happening.
I did that at the MTV Awards one time. One time we were broadcasting for the MTV Awards.
Yeah.
And there was a back exit where there were a ton of fans waiting to see celebrities come in and come out. And I just put on a pair of sunglasses and walked outside and started grabbing stuff and signing it. And after I signed the first one, everyone started putting stuff in my face. And I just put scribbles so they couldn't read my autograph. And everyone would go, who are you? And I'd be like, yeah. And I just kept signing.
MTV Video Music Awards.
Which is, it's a thing. It's still a thing.
I know. It was in Miami when I went.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The Golden Popcorn.
The Golden Popcorn. Oh, the Movie Awards. I've been to the Music Awards, not the Movie Awards.
Oh, I went to both of them. All right, let's play this clip from Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski was on ESPN yesterday, and they were asking him what things that we did not know about Rob. Now, by the way, this is all on the heels of him giving also one of the most lucid answers ever. I mean, he essentially said he was, in so many words, was telling people that he's done yesterday. He went in this big diatribe. Matter of fact, let's play both of them. Let's play both clips. Which one do you have first, Dan? Which one should we play first?
Okay, the season's, you know, grind, so it's up and down. I mean, I'm not going to lie and sit here and say every week is the best. Not at all. I mean, you go up, you go down. You can take some serious hits. I mean, to tell you the truth, just try imagine getting hit all the time and trying to be where you want to be every day in life. It's tough. It's difficult. I mean, to take hits to the thigh, take hits to your head, abusing your body isn't what your brain wants. So it can... When your body's abused, it can bring down your mood. You got to be able to deal with that, too, throughout the season. You got to be able to deal with that going into games, and no one realizes that. And no one everyone expects us players to be wide awake every single day. And it's like, yo, like, I just took 50 hits to my head, or like, you're not to my head, but I'm saying I just took 50 collisions. And then, like, the next day, everyone wants you to be up. They want practice full speed. Next week, they want the game to be full speed. But they don't understand sometimes what players are going through with their bodies, with their minds. And that's why I would say you see a shift in players in games where people are down the whole game. And then you see all of a sudden next week, it's like, how did this team just go from one switch to the other?
It's almost like he's talking about he's getting depressed.
Well, no, I think he's pissed because all season long, people have been questioning and saying, why isn't Rob Gronkowski the Rob Gronkowski of the past? Why am I not getting any fantasy points to Rob Gronkowski? Why is he not in the end zone as much? Rob Gronkowski's dead. He's, there's no way, blah, 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 blah. And that's got to get to you. And at some point, he's like, dude, have you seen the hits I've taken in my career? Have you seen how hard I've been hit? How many times I've been hit? What you want out of me isn't human. The type of hits I take, how big I am, the way my body gets wrecked, 50 to, and he mentioned his head,
yeah.
And then he kind of stepped that back, which is a little scary. But, I mean, that was the most honest, lucid answer that I've ever heard Rob Gronkowski give. Matter of fact, unfortunately, is probably the last person, if you would have given me that quote, the last person I would have guessed is Rob Gronkowski.
Right.
And the reason in my opinion, that's him essentially saying, this is it. Is my last year.
Yeah.
I mean, my body can't take it anymore. It's done, which is sad because the same man who said that completely amazing, lucid insight into that quote also said this. He was on ESPN and they said, what do we not know about you? And he gave us this quote.
Ooh. I never should have gave me this question before to think about, but, you know, I actually getting into it now is I like reading more the first couple years in going in NFL. I never read a book, never stopped reading totally, but I do like going back now. I like picking up magazines. I like picking up newspapers. I really haven't hit the books yet, but I love reading, like, shorter articles that get right to the point that are just a few pages long and getting knowledge through that way. Reading sports articles, reading articles out there about other job professions. So I like doing that now. It's definitely feel like you get your intelligence back. I mean, first trying to read again when you haven't in a while is a little difficult, but I like getting back into that stage, and it feels good.
Imagine having to learn to read again. Like you weren't in a coma. Imagine you took so much time off from like reading the English language that you need to practice.
Got to get back into it, Fred.
Short articles to get right to the point about
grease the wheels,
job
you know?
Occupations.
The hamster starts just running again.
But he's like, and then it feels like you get your intelligence back, and then you say, "Hey." You needed to start reading again.
Yeah.
it's not like riding a bike,
right? No,
I mean you can't just hop in there and start reading right away.
How little did he read to have to say that that's something we didn't know about him? Is that he likes reading short articles to get right to the point?
Well, I mean, he went to University of Arizona for 3 years,
right? Somebody said, in other words, he looks at Twitter. Gets right to the point.
Can you imagine saying like, I pick up a magazine. Ooh. Okay, like you haven't been doing that?
I love reading like shorter articles that get right to the point that are just a few pages long.
The pie chart at the bottom left-hand corner of USA Today. Ooh. That's what I like reading that article.
Yeah, he just flips through Hustler Penthouse Forum and just finds the shortest ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really getting back into reading short articles that get right to the point.
Ooh.
So it's like, I like headlines.
I never read a book.
Like, I'm not ready to. And listen, don't read books. What do I care? But I just like, I'm like working my way into reading books. Like, I'm getting into it.
Listen, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Ooh. It takes a while to get back into that.
Yeah. Well, he'll have plenty of time when he retires, and I think it's good for him to retire, but what do I know? We'll be back when we find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way. I see that Hardy's got his silly little puppets with him. We'll be back in just a moment.
It's Toucher and Rich, live from Radio Row, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on Twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're still here!
Our job in Kansas City. Now we face the Rams in the Super Bowl, and we'll never lose 1 minute of sleeping, worrying about the bad things haters say. Pats fans keep on grinning, Tom Brady keeps on winning, 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 winning in Atlanta. Throw a touchdown pass to Burkhead. Throw a forward pass down to Gronkowski. All the haters thought the dynasty was over, but we still had faith in Bill Belichick.
The work of Mike behind the mouth, Callahan. But Sen,
we had not heard from him in a year. We played that yesterday, and all of a sudden I get an email, and it's from. Oh, well, I don't have the name in front of me, but I retweeted the link, and somebody said, okay, Mike behind the Mike Callahan, you might have started this thing, but we are going to finish it, and let's let it roll, shall we?
Oh, Mike behind the Mike Callahan, we love you, but we got to bring the heat if we're going to pump up Pat's Nation. You know, they never do anything nice and easy. Hey, KOB, drop those vocals.
Winning, It's all good, baby.
All right. Matt Slater here. Hey, Sarge, you can't have all the fun. Now it's my turn. All right. Hey, we did our job in Kansas City. Now we face the Rams to the Super Bowl. And we'll never lose a minute of sleep because worry about the bad things the haters say.
Time to go.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
As somebody covered a Mike Behind the Mike Callahan song and then jumped in with a
beautiful.
Sarge Sucks Assault. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Our listeners are unbelievable.
All right, so Zolak and Beatle are coming up, and they have a lot of guests. A lot of guests going to be joining them this morning. We'll be hanging around. Taping some things for tomorrow.
You'll probably see us walloking behind them on TV.
Yeah, so it's what we're good at.
That's what we're good at. All right, everyone have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.